The Story of an Historic Local Player, read by modern-day family member Chris Merida.
John Snowball Merida had it all in terms of baseball skill. If he were alive today, Merida would fit into that coveted five-tool player category, meaning he could hit for average, hit for power, run the bases well, field his position, and possess a strong throwing arm. What Merida didn't have was the right skin color. For the prejudicial times, he was black, and he grew up in Spicen, Indiana. Merida was destined to become Henry County's Jackie Robinson before the man who broke baseball's color barrier was even born. In the early 1900s, the Chicago Cubs had the brilliant infield trio known as Tinker, Evers, Chance. While their skill turned 491 double plays in a four-year span, it was Ratcliffe, Ham, Painter that turned a light on Spicen's Merida, perhaps the best player today's fans never saw. Henry County historian Richard P. Ratcliffe had a young man named Tom Ham in his Newcastle Middle School class. Ham went on to become a professor at Earlham College. Alex Painter was in one of Ham's classes at the Richmond, Indiana school. Because of Ratcliffe and Ham's influence, Painter was introduced to this forgotten phenom. The introduction became an obsession for Painter, who ended up authoring a book titled Baseball Immortal, The Odyssey of Trailblazing Slugger John Snowball Merida. In the book, how and why the family came to Spicen becomes crystal clear. Years before baseball would become a big part of his life, John Merida's mother was longing to be safe at home. Though predominantly rural and fairly small, with a population of just a few hundred in the 1870s, Spicen had an African-American community that predated even the conclusion of the American Civil War, Painter wrote. In another paragraph, Painter stated, though Spicen wasn't free of racial prejudice, it was considered light years ahead of their white neighbors. In fact, one account from the 1880s states that blacks from North Carolina regarded Spicen as Jerusalem. It was Spicen where a strong Quaker church congregation fought slavery fervently, Painter wrote. It was Spicen where the Underground Railroad led many black slaves to safety, thanks in large part to a Greensboro man named Seth Henshaw. And it was Henshaw who helped renowned abolitionist Frederick Douglass, one of the most important figures in 19th century history, find refuge in nearby Greensboro after a vicious attack in Pendleton. So John Snowball Merida had landed in the right place, even if it was at the wrong time. While his ancestors were slaves, he was destined to become a household name on the baseball fields from Spicen and Newcastle to Indianapolis and Cincinnati, even on to Kansas City. A half a century before Jackie Robinson graced a Major League Baseball field, John Merida was a dominant force of integration among the patchy meadows, dusty sandlots, and ramshackle municipal parks, all situated among the unassuming cornfields of the Hoosier State. Painter wrote, as a black man in the first decade of the 20th century, he'd ultimately reached the pinnacle of the sport that was available to him. After starring for Spicen Academy from 1895 to 1903, Snowball played on seven other teams over the next decade. Wherever he went, Snowball made life miserable for opposing pitchers. An Indianapolis newspaper writer described him this way. He's a terror of all pitchers. His long hitting is attracting the attention of the Midwest. And if he were a white man, he would be in the professional leagues. One might say that John Merida's popularity snowballed every place he went. From Spicen Academy to Creole French Newcastle team and on to Montpelier Oil Boys, people from all parts of the Midwest flocked to see him hit a baseball. His athletic prowess continued professionally for the Cincinnati Black Tourist and the Indianapolis ABCs. His personality and athletic ability also made headlines for the Minneapolis Keystones and the Kansas City Royal Giants. Why was he nicknamed Snowball? Painter explained in his book, Merida is incredibly affable and unwaveringly friendly. After every game at Spicen Academy, he would get mobbed by all the fans, especially the children, regardless if they won or lost. It was because of his friendliness he garnered his more famous nickname, Snowball. After his time was over at the academy, he played for local semi-pro teams all over East Central Indiana, sometimes still being the only black player on the team. Merida got his big break in 1907 when he was signed by the Indianapolis ABCs. In 108 games, From 1907 to 1910 with the Indianapolis team, Snowball had a batting average of .313, hit 19 home runs, and earned a slugging percentage of .603. A slugging percentage is defined as the total number of bases a player records per at-bat. Putting that into historical perspective, Major League Baseball's all-time slugging percentage leader is the legendary Babe Ruth. His career slugging percentage was .529. The more Painter learned about Snowball, the deeper entrenched he became in this incredible story. One could point to June 5th, 1896 as the day Snowball started rolling. It was Spiceland Field Day, and the small southern Henry County town grew by several 100%. To enjoy the multifaceted event, appearing on the list of participants that day, according to Painter's research, was John Merida. Given the demographics of Henry County, it is probable he was one of a handful, but possibly the only person of color competing in contests, Painter wrote. Merida towed the line in the 100-yard dash. When the starting pistol sounded for the race to begin, it had all but ended. With a blend of speed and grace, Merida, never taking his eyes off the finish line, crossed the ribbon in first place, Painter wrote. He had left the entire pack of competitors in the dust. The very next year at the same event, Merida's speed took a back seat to his strength. Every time the teenager swung the bat, the ball whistled through the air, alternating between blistering line drives and fly balls which cut across the Indiana sky in perfect arcs, Painter wrote. Regardless of the launch angle, the ball continually traveled distances thought improbable by the thousands of dazzled spectators. After Merida was crowned winner of the hitting contest, he was soon swarmed at home plate. The men were giving him congratulatory backslaps and offering to buy him concessions from one of the vendors, Painter wrote. Others had already beaten them, thrusting glass bottles of soda or cooked ears of corn in his direction. A throng of doubting children, some of his biggest fans, clung to his cotton wool knickerbockers and followed his each and every step. When the individual contest was over that day, Merida took his talents to the Spiceland Academy dugout and led his hometown team to a 23-12 pounding over county rival Newcastle. With Merida behind the plate as catcher, the Spiceland Academy rarely lost. Painter's research revealed that the Spiceland Academy team won more than 80% of its games when Merida was in the lineup. Painter's discovery of Merida was like a bloop single with the bases loaded. "It was a total stumble upon for me," Painter said. "I'm a Negro League guy, and I did a history of Negro League baseball here in Richmond. I decided to see how many Negro League games were played in Richmond. I expected to find a handful, but ended up finding 125. It was absolutely shocking. After I made this really nice registry of all these games, I thought, you know what would be really cool, Alex? If you could track every player who came to Richmond. So then I started at the beginning of that list." This is just serendipity, but the very first game that took place in Richmond with a Negro League team was the 1907 Indianapolis ABCs, Painter continued. The leadoff hitter for them was John Merida. He was playing second base, so I had no idea who he was. I went over to the Negro League database. Then I said, "My God, he's from Spiceland." For Painter, who works as the community engagement officer for the Wayne County Foundation in Richmond, it was like finding a buried treasure. With Ratcliffe and Ham as resources, he began poring over Spiceland's friends' meeting minutes. He found images that Ratcliffe had donated to the Indiana Historical Society. Painter and his son even visited Circle Grove Cemetery, where Merida is buried. So the very first player in that 350-player registry that I was creating for Richmond Project, the very first player by virtue of batting leadoff in the very first game I found, was John Merida. I saw not only was he from Spiceland, but he died less than 4 years after that game was played. "I had never been to Spiceland before," said Painter, a Fort Wayne native. "My son, who was 6 at the time, and I walked all over Circle Grove Cemetery trying to find his grave." "He was incredibly obscure," Painter said. "His grave was unmarked for 65 years. The only reason it's marked to this day is Richard Ratcliffe, of course."